And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, I'm talking about Alabama, y'all. And I mean to say, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, let me go right to the phones, and I'm proud to have on with us one of our two U.S. senators for the state of Alabama, U.S. Senator Katie Britt, who is traveling at the moment and calling in, making time for us. We appreciate that. Senator Britt, how are you?
I am doing wonderfully. I tell you what, I'm just glad to be home, be in Alabama, and as always, I'm really grateful for the opportunity to be on the show and to be in front of your listeners.
Well, thank you so much. Hey, listen, let me go right to it. I was out last week.
There's a lot to talk about.
It's a target-rich environment, I'm telling you. But
so true.
But I was out last week, and I come back in, and like, good Lord, I missed like the news cycle week of the century. But the debate last week, the current state of the Biden administration and the Biden campaign, just give us your unvarnished thoughts.
Yeah, well, first off, even if you had been here and you were looking at mainstream media here in the state, you would see no coverage of the debate. So that kind of shows you how far they've gone, that they refuse to even call balls and strikes to cover something as important as the presidential debate, our next commander-in-chief, and really laying out the facts of what happened. So I think that's a whole nother topic. I really believe Donald Trump broke the media, Phil, and we are seeing that firsthand right now. But when it comes to the debate, goodness gracious, I mean, as a human being, that was painful to watch.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. I think it was maddening and saddening all at the same time.
All at the same time. And so, I think about it from the perspective of obviously you wouldn't wish that on your worst enemy, but here it is. We didn't just do that. It happened to the Commander-in-Chief of the United States of America. And so not only did we get a window into what we've been telling people, and remember, a couple of months ago when I said in the State of the Union that he was a dithering and diminished leader, they jumped on me so hard, told me that that was inaccurate and that I was way out of bounds. Well, what did we see, Phil, on that stage? I hate to say it, but I think maybe even worse than a dithering and diminished leader. But as a citizen of the United States of America, to see our commander-in-chief up there like that and know that our adversary, Phil, across the globe, had a front row seat to his inability to actually lead, to me, is not only a sad day, it is a dangerous day for the United States of America. And I think we saw on full display why the world is on fire. It is on fire because we have a weak leader in the White House. We have someone who not only does not have a command of the issues, has no ability to have others follow him. And I thought through, can you imagine when Xi Jinping came to San Francisco? There he is, president of China, sitting across from that man, from the president of the United States. There is no way in the world that President Biden could adequately defend America's interests in a conversation with him at all.
No.
You look at what's happening with Putin. Do you want to know why Putin invaded during Biden's presidency? You are seeing it firsthand. And you want to know why the Middle East is on fire. This president has not only the will, he clearly, as we saw that night, the inability to hold Iran accountable for what they're doing, funding terrorists and their nuclear proliferation. So it was a sad day, but honestly, it was a dangerous day for our country.
Well, listen, I completely agree with everything you just said. And in my time in Montgomery, there were times when, for instance, we had Governor Bentley, we had troubles. And so we were watching it from within the legislative process. And I we would know things. We would sense things. And it sucks the air out of the room. Because when the leader of the executive branch is diminished or in some way in jeopardy, everything you do winds up having to revolve in some way around that. And I'm not saying that you guys in the House and Senate can't get your work done. But what I'm saying is it becomes a distraction. There's no way around it. It just does. And even more so right now, I would imagine there are reports right now, Senator, that the Biden aides are saying he's only best between 10 and 6 every day. Standard work hours. I'm like, what? 10 and 6?
No, sir. let me tell you something. When you were the commander of chief of the greatest nation across the globe, I mean, that is a 24-hour job, 7 days a week, 365 days yep. a year. And not only did he show he is truly not capable of finishing out this term, I mean, there is no way in the world he could do four more. And the stark contrast to that was President Trump, who was strong, who was disciplined, who did a great job bringing the message back to Biden's failures, talking about the border. It was, I couldn't comprehend what Biden was saying about the border. And yet, you know, I think President Trump was crystal clear. I couldn't comprehend what President Biden was saying about another number of things. Medicare, we killed it. I mean, it consistently, President Trump showed strength. And then also the falsehoods that were told by President Biden that the media refuses to actually cover, to actually expose. And I know that the one at the very beginning hit you like a ton of bricks, being a former service member
yep.
yourself, when he said not one service member has died under my watch as commander in chief. He completely and totally neglected the 13 brave men and women who died as a result of his disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. Not only did he not mention them in the State of the Union after that occurred, he forgot them on the world stage that night. You think about the three young soldiers from Georgia who died in Jordan yep. as a result of Iran's aggression and funding terrorism across the globe. And then you think about the two Navy SEALs who lost their lives in defense of all of this. And for him to neglect that and for the media to not call him on that, it's totally outrageous and totally out of bounds.
Well, it's not only that. You happen to wonder, is this an indication that he's saying what he needs to say for the moment, hoping nobody will question him, or is it just that he just doesn't know? Like he's just forgotten, or for that matter, maybe he never knew in the first place because it came in after 6 p.m. I don't know. Either way, he's diminished, and it was obvious.
Well, and Phil, don't you think like true media? If true media still existed. Which, you know, quote, mainstream media, they would call him on those moments. But the truth is, we're getting more of the same, even in the aftermath of this just debacle, disaster of a debate where they're refusing to truly cover it. You know, they have refused to call him on these things throughout his presidency. They have refused, as we have seen instances where he is clearly confused, where he clearly does not know where he is, where he clearly is frozen or walking in the different direction. And the press secretary a couple of weeks ago said these are cheap fakes.
Yeah.
This is the internet, which to me is just absolutely out of bounds because she is planting in everyone's mind that this is some type of AI generated content, which could not be, you know, kind of likening it to deep fakes, pulling that language together. And it is disgusting because, and then the media doesn't do their job, or this would have been exposed months ago when we all saw it. When I called it out, they would have said, you know what, let's look into that. They don't do that. They cover up for him, and the end result is where we are today.
I'll tell you who the cheap fake is. Biden himself. He's not actually governing. Other people are doing the job for him in the background, and he doesn't even remember when he signed things. Listen, I got about 3 minutes left with you, and I want to touch on something that happened today because it's a segue off of the same conversation. But part of the Biden effort to derail the Republicans has been the lawfare against President Trump. The Supreme Court came out today and also in another decision this past Friday, Fisher last Friday, and then today was the question of presidential immunity. I'm not sure you traveling right now whether you've had a chance to see those yet, but these are significant, and they seem to unhinge some of the cases against Trump right now.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I also obviously would add in, and this is a little bit different topic, but the Chevron doctrine,
oh, yeah.
that deference
oh,
and the
yes.
significance of that. I think what you've just pointed out is we have a court that is upholding the Constitution, that is not playing politics, but is actually calling balls and strikes. And what is so despicable about the Democrats and their reaction to this, Phil, is just it's all about politics. And I think they are even more elevated about this ruling today. If you were to just take a step back and look at this objectively, you would say, of course, the President of the United States, the Commander-in-Chief, The leader of the free world needs to be able to make decisions in furtherance of his office, in furtherance of the nation, in a way that provides immunity. And they said personal is different. This is here. Clearly, we all would believe that. And the Democrats, if they were thinking long term, would certainly want that for Joe Biden, because what he is doing at the border, the decisions he's making of circumventing other laws. You understand what I'm saying here. But yet we have Democrats who are all up in arms. And I think Thursday makes it even makes them even more elevated, because they realize they can't see President Trump at the ballot box. And now they all of this lawfare, there's not sticking up, spaghetti's not sticking on the wall like they wanted it to. And so it is a great day for our country. It is a great day for the Constitution. And I also want your listeners to dig in more to Chevron deference, because that's a great day for hardworking Americans. It takes away power from what I call, Phil, the fourth branch of government, yep, which is the administrative state. The administrative state is out of control. They make rules. They promulgate regulation. And they do so without any type of, just having to actually answer to the people or answer for their actions. And this administration, with their liberal agenda, has infiltrated every single thing, from clearly the EPA to our Defense Department to our financial sector and beyond. And so being able to roll those back is a great day for freedom, for liberty, and for the American people.
I totally agree. With about a minute left here, I'm curious to see whether or not that Chevron decision can actually have an impact on the Biden effort to unhinge Title IX for women's rights, women's
gosh,
sports.
I mean, from your lips all the way up, look, you think about unhinging women's sports, you think about this new portion of Title IX. Cindy Hyde-Smith is leading a CRA right now on part that I want you to dig in on. It says in this new promulgation that they have put forth, it says that if a child comes into a classroom, Phil, and tells their teacher that they are no longer, that they want to identify as a little girl and they're a little boy, that teacher will not be under obligation to tell the parent. And my question to the Secretary of Education was, it's easy. If my child gets in a fight on the playground, you're going to call me? Yeah, you are. If my child is failing a test, you're going to call me? Yeah, you are. If my child doesn't show up to school for a certain number of days, you're going to call me? Yeah, you are. If my child comes in and tells you they identify as another sex, you better call me. That is between me and my child, not between the child and the teacher. This is completely out of whack. We got to empower parents. The government needs to get out of parenting. That's not their job, and we've got to push back, because this not only has detrimental effects for Title IX and women's sports, because someone can identify no shorter than a day or a minute to be able to take a woman's scholarship. Listen to me. A woman, if my daughter works hard and tries to get a volleyball scholarship or a track scholarship or a basketball scholarship, someone could come in identifying as a female. There is no litmus test, and that person could be given a scholarship ahead of her. It completely defeats Title IX. They're going after parents' rights. We have to stand up, stand firm, speak loud, and hopefully some of these things can help us roll these detrimental rules and regulations back.
Well, Senator, we've used up our time, but thank you again. While traveling, making time for Right Side Radio, we appreciate you, and we'll have you on again sometime soon. All right.
Hey, Phil, I appreciate it. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, that's your U.S. Senator, Katie Britt, just laying it on like unvarnished. Listen, we're going to take a break. We'll come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right, and we'll be back.